Welcome to You Don't Even Like This Band, a podcast about bands you probably don't even like.
We hope you don't know this one.
With your hosts, Adam Todd Brown, Andy Sell, and Travis Clark.
We should probably start this again. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Podcast Supernova. I'm Adam Todd Brown.
I'm Travis fucking Clark.
And I'm butt cracking.
God damn it. No.
I'm not going to let Andy turn the tables on us.
We've had so many bits we wouldn't let go at his expense.
That is true.
And now we get an entire butt crack Andy episode.
Butt crack in the morning.
Listen to the outtakes, everybody. You'll understand. Hey, welcome back. It's been a while since we recorded.
Yeah, it is.
I've missed you.
I've missed you all. It's been chaos for me. I've had so much shit going on.
Same.
It's just hard to get everyone in the room.
Yeah.
And then the conspiracy theories start flying.
Wait, are there theories?
People are like, what happened to Travis and Andy?
Oh.
And I'm like, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
You wouldn't know.
Maybe they died, but they didn't. They're back. We're all back.
Are you sure?
I'm not sure. Maybe we're all dead.
I'm not sure.
That would be pretty cool.
And we built this podcast as a way to all come together. We died at separate times. It's the ending of Lost. It's a podcast.
We built this podcast. We built this podcast on
Crack
Andy. I like that we were on the same time.
That was in unison. It was in stereo for Travis.
When you have as much rhythm as Andy and I do.
Sure.
Yeah.
And you just know the natural.
When you're as plugged in to the collective human spirit as we are.
Amen.
High five. That's the first time he actually did it.
Yeah, that one
sounded well. He resists them.
It sounded good. Andy's in good spirits today. I like it.
The truth?
We all seem to be in good
kind of
spirits.
Is. I don't know why. I have no fucking reason to be.
Yeah, I feel like in real life, none of us are in great spirits, but it feels good being here.
Yeah, it feels great being here.
Yeah.
I started off my morning listening to Oasis, which is an aggressive way to start your morning.
This album in particular.
Yeah.
It's, you need to, here's the thing. Mm-hmm. Did you do any coke first?
Oh, no.
That's where I fucked up. Yeah.
Mm.
We're talking about the album B.
I took Adderall. Does that count?
Does. That's.
Did you bring any?
No. Mm. It's a prescription. It's my medicine.
Yeah, but I mean.
I don't do it recreationally.
If you could bring some.
I think it'd
be all right. Yeah, if you want to just.
Snort it off the fucking boner of a dog.
Yeah.
What?
Huh?
Hmm? What? Anyway, we're talking about the Be Here Now album.
Yeah.
The third album from the band Oasis. And it's a controversial album in their catalog. There's a lot of thoughts and feelings about it, and we're going to explore those thoughts and feelings, and the recording and release, and
sounds like a lot of work.
Fun stories about this is an interesting
stories. Okay, I'm in.
It's an interesting time in this band's history. What were you going to say, Travis?
I was going to say something about. We're gonna get to it. I don't want to spoilers. I don't want to do the spoilers up top.
Yeah,
don't blow your wad early. No
butt crack, Andy. So when we last left off, it was kind of a chaotic time for Oasis.
That could have been any time we left.
I mean, was there ever a non-chaotic time?
No, absolutely not.
Okay,
but there was like the MTV Unplugged thing,
which
was pretty crazy.
That's the thing about this whole Oasis saga is that it's like one of those movies where everyone starts out, all the performances are up high at the beginning. So you're like, you got nowhere to go. That's how Oasis began. It's like they start at 11 and you're just like, what are you guys doing? It's just going to be this the whole time. And yeah, it is.
But it's not like if you listen to their albums, like all of their albums, they're not the same.
I'm not talking about their album. I'm talking albums.
Their personality.
Their personality.
Their whole, like, everything about them.
It is. And it, in this period of time, it gets worse. For a while, but then it gets better.
Does it?
Briefly. It does kind of, I would argue. But there was the MTV Unplugged performance. They go back to England. They have a huge U.S. tour booked. And on the eve of them flying to the United States for that tour, Liam quits.
Yep, that checks. That all tracks.
And instead of canceling the tour, the band is like, fuck it, we'll do it by ourselves. We'll do it without Liam.
Was this on the previous Leon, or is this... This is following the Unplugged incident.
This is following Unplugged. So after Unplugged, things just get worse.
So he just keeps serially quitting the band.
He does.
I feel like they just don't have a band anymore, and they need to accept that.
Well, at this point, that's actually a big talking point in the band, because there we talked about the Nebworth concerts on the last episode, and I'll link to a documentary that I don't even think was an official documentary, but there's a documentary about this album, and I think they bring it up in the Supersonic documentary also, but the kind of the consensus in the band after Nebworth was, we should probably just quit. Like, it's never, not going to get bigger than that. And they don't quit is the whole thing. And what the whole Liam pulling out.
Do you think in the universe where Oasis quit at this point, things are better in the world?
Well, I'll tell you this. If Oasis only had those two albums, they're one of those bands where we'd be like, what would music be like if Oasis carried on? Is almost always...
So it's better to know.
like my favorite example of that is Aerosmith. There's a really famous story where Aerosmith almost bought the plane that the members of Lynyrd Skynyrd died in.
What?
And they didn't buy it because they saw the crew like passing around a bottle of Jack Daniels.
Before they died, not after. They weren't trying to buy the wreckage.
Are the skeletons still on it?
No, they were looking for a new plane at the time.
Got it.
That plane was one that they were considering, and they saw the crew like imagine Aerosmith being like, those guys are partying too hard. Like, this is 70s Aerosmith, and they're like, no. Nope,
can't get on that fucking death trap.
Yeah, we're not buying that plane. And then Lynyrd Skynyrd died in it later that year. But the thing is, had Aerosmith bought that plane and died in a plane crash, we would absolutely consider Aerosmith one of the best American rock bands of probably one of the best bands of all time.
But Warren Zevon would not have written one of my favorite songs.
Which is?
Play It All Night Long.
Okay. But I was going to say, then we wouldn't have Love on a Roller Coaster. And
Elevator.
No, there's a Love in a Roller Coaster.
Oh, good.
Ride at Walt Disney World and Disneyland Paris.
Oh, yes.
Where you get on a fucking roller coaster and are soothed by the dulcet tones of Aerosmith.
And see, that's the thing. Like, had Aerosmith died at that point, they have four stone classic albums under their belt, and then Draw the Line, which is kind of eh. But I can imagine people being like, they were just taking so many drugs, they would have pulled out of that. And just imagine what music would be like if Aerosmith lived. And we know.
Right.
We know. We know. Have the Revolution X video game. That's the key. That's their key contribution.
And that's the thing. Had Oasis quit after Nebworth, we'd talk about them the same way. But they did carry on. And it's like, they were just another band after a while.
We were like, man, why did Joe Perry quit Oasis and start the Joe Perry Project?
So they embark on this tour. And here's the thing. Liam's complaint about this tour was that they were being overworked. Like, they had, like, people were trying to milk all the fucking money out of What's the Story, Morning Glory they could. So now they've done this like whirlwind tour, and now they have another U.S. tour booked. And he's like, no, I don't want to do it. And he didn't do it. And then Noel decides to do the tour without him. And then 2/3 of the way through the tour, Noel's like, no, I don't want to do this either. We're working too much. And he fucking leaves with 5 shows left. So they probably should have just canceled that U.S. tour. Yeah.
Or at least dialed it back a bit.
Right. But they didn't. And Noel comes back to England. This is how, like, I don't think people in the United States really understand what the British press is like.
Oh, it's disgusting.
It is fucking horrifying. Mm. And I'll link to this documentary. It's got a lot of clips from around this time. When this all happens, when Noel leaves the tour and Liam is back, it's like front page news in England every fucking day. It is the most important story at a time when I'm sure there was plenty of like actual stories happening that people could pay attention to.
Right. But
I mean, you'd think.
But these were tabloid darlings of the time, right? They were,
oh, yeah.
They were the Kanye West of the time. Like any other, any small thing they do is going to sell a bunch of newspapers
because right. you
spin some weird story out of it.
And there's this clip in the documentary where after Noel comes back, there's all these reporters camped outside his mom's house just waiting for her to come out so they can be like, is Oasis breaking up? Like, she's going to have a fucking answer.
Like, I don't know.
They certainly are. Fuck Liam.
I've raised a couple of right twats, haven't I? Sorry.
Oh, I'm breaking up with him as well. Chip, chip, cheerio.
Gotta go get a spot of tea. Grippity-doo. That's the traditional British sign-off.
And grippity-doo. She disappears up a chimney. Oh, man.
Just a spoonful of cocaine makes my boys play the music.
So, Oasis, one of the things you see throughout their history is they have these crazy fucking blow-ups. And then they just, like, hang out for a couple days, and they're like, yeah, whatever, it's fine. Because they're brothers.
Yeah, but also I feel like that's just British family dynamics.
Yeah, probably yeah, a little
yeah.
bit.
Yeah.
Oh, family.
Christ.
Am I right?
Yeah. Like, let's
fucking love.
Let's not unpack that. Let's move on.
Sorry to drop this huge case of emotional baggage in front of you, but let's not unpack it.
So... as the same thing happens here, there's all of this like tension in the media and it seems like the band's going to break up. And then they just rent a cabin in the woods for a couple days and all drink beer together and go, all right, let's just make another album. That like that's how these huge dramas within the band always get settled.
This is starting to check out. Yes, this is starting to make sense to me. Oasis is just the band that everyone who does cocaine with another person that's doing cocaine talks about starting. It's this is that band.
We should start a band.
Yeah.
Also, we're brothers and we have a lot of trauma we've never dealt with.
Oasis is like every time someone does coke in a room with two other guys also on coke talking about starting a band, every time that happens, Oasis, like one of the Gallagher brothers gets an erection. Like,
so as luck would have it, Noel Gallagher had already written almost an album's worth of new songs.
Jesus, Noel.
Get ready to say Jesus, Noel, again.
They're all racial slurs.
This is the setting under which he wrote that album. He was on holiday with Johnny Depp and Kate Moss at Mick Jagger's villa in Mustique.
Jesus, Noel.
That's when you've got nothing to say anymore.
That is the next line in the notes. It says, Jesus Christ, dude.
That's straight up, like, I don't want to hear any music made by that.
No, but it's also, too, like, I'm going to make a Mad Lib of something that just seems like can't possibly happen.
But I can also, like, I can see it. Like, you've been working this hard promoting the last album. He mentioned that he had writer's block for, like, half the year before this. And then now you're in this, like, fucking villa owned by Mick Jagger. And you're just like, all right, I can relax here.
Hanging out with JD and KM, just having a fucking blast.
Johnny Depp plays guitar on this album.
Does he really?
On the song Fade In Out, he plays slide guitar.
Slide guitar.
Wow.
Yeah.
JD on the fucking slide. Huh?
Sure.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
JD on the slide.
Y'all you know, for butt cracks money, the best guitarist of our time is Johnny Depp.
It would be so fun to actually have that opinion and mean it and carry it through your life. Every time a guitar player comes up, you're like, bro.
You know Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
No, same Johnny Depp you're thinking of.
I saw him at the Viper Room in 89. Bro.
You have no idea.
Dude.
Does he have albums? No. You want to know why River Phoenix died? Because he couldn't believe how good Johnny Depp was at guitar. And you won't either. And you'll die.
Johnny, play the guitar solo that killed River Phoenix.
I always call him Rivers Phoenix because of Rivers Cuomo and Rivers Langley.
Oh, yeah.
Who actually killed Johnny Depp.
He did.
I don't know if people know Johnny Depp's dead.
The Alabama Hammer, baby.
Yeah. So they decide to record this album at Abbey Road Studios.
Sure.
Because it's in the neighborhood they live in. basically.
They live in that area?
Yeah.
I feel like that's a ritzy area. I don't know, England.
Is it a ritzy area?
I feel like Abbey Road Studios just seems like it's like expensive.
I don't know, but it's also like these guys.
They're also the biggest band in the world.
It's not punters anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
they're not a bunch of fucking soccer hooligans living at mom's house.
Boys, we think you should go to Abbey Road. Oasis is breaking up.
Jesus.
Here's a fun detail. Those first sessions at Abbey Road were derailed because a dude recording a flugelhorn album in the studio next to them kept knocking on the door and asking them to be quiet.
I want more information about this person.
Also, where's that Flugel album?
I want that album. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I want that album. I want to hear that album.
What if it all sounds like Be Here Now?
No, what if
all it's right, just... I got it. Now keep it down. I'm going to record that on Flugelhorn.
It was actually Chuck Mangione.
I like the idea where he's just like, fuck it, I'm just going to record horn parts to these songs. So it's the Oasis album in the background with him
honestly,
playing flugelhorn.
They should have done that. They should have just brought the flugelhorn in to their studio.
You can't bring a flugelhorn in. Like, you, once you do that, you're taking a step. You can't unring that bell.
It becomes all about the flugelhorn at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you guys are afraid, though, of greatness. Like, that's...
Could be.
You know, I mean, I get... The flugelhorn's intimidating, and I get that it changes everything.
Look, the important...
The flugelhorn, once you play it, things were away.
Yeah, and then there's the flugelhorn.
And then you play the flugelhorn, and then they're another way. Yeah. Everything
but that's,
changes.
That's life, man.
No, but there's a reason it's called the flugelhorn, because once you catch it, it's real fucking hard to get rid of. Flugelhorn.
I don't see what you're doing. I'm really, really struggling to break this down.
What I'm saying is that horn players are fucking parasites.
I'm into that.
Yeah.
You know how the flu is a parasite?
Mm-hmm.
the flu, the part of the chimney.
Flu.
Yeah.
Mrs.
Gallagher shoots up because she has magical abilities fueled by cocaine.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. It's starting to make sense to me now.
So they pack up. They move to a studio somewhere in the country in England. And then that becomes a problem.
What?
Because they brought a lot of cocaine with them.
I feel that's implied when it's Oasis is in studio. You know, like that's.
Well, that's the whole thing. Around this time, we'll talk about it more in detail later, but they're really getting known as a band that enjoys cocaine. And one thing police love to do is if you're an artist who's very vocal about how much you love drugs, they will meet you when you come to town and see if you have drugs. That is how Juice WRLD, a rapper, recently died because his plane landed. The police met the plane when it landed, and they were like, we bet you got drugs. And he did, and he tried to swallow a bunch of Percocet to hide them from the police and overdosed on Percocet, as you would expect.
Wow.
So I kind of get their trepidation here.
I want to say that this is 97 we're talking about, right? Or is that when the album
96.
Comes out? 96.
96, 97-ish.
And maybe just because I've lived a semi-sheltered life, I feel like being into cocaine in the 90s was weird.
Well, it was weird. Right? And in the British press, it was not taken too kindly at all. They weren't treated as like cool rebel rock stars because they were talking about cocaine all the time. People were like, why are you talking about cocaine all the time?
Yeah.
It's very irresponsible.
Yeah, do heroin, you fucking dinosaur.
well,
you're living in the past.
Yeah.
Well, not just that.
So
like,
80s.
Like, the UK is way different from the United States.
That's true.
In a whole lot of ways. In one of those.
Name one.
Well, you can maybe get arrested for saying you like cocaine.
Just saying it.
Yeah.
Wow. So if we were doing this show live in England right now and you said what you just said, fucking bobbies are in here and we're in trouble.
Not necessarily, but it's
that's why we don't have a king here.
Thing they can prosecute you for, at least at the time they could. Like if you were high profile enough and were promoting shit like that. So whether it was just paranoia or justified, they decide the police are hanging out around this studio too much. We need to do cocaine to record this album.
Mm.
So they head back to London.
There's a lot of evidence here. We need to sniff it away.
Because they're more comfortable doing cocaine in London, as you would expect. So
I've only been to London as a teenager, and I did not partake in drugs at the time, but I could see why someone would want to.
Oh, man, I went when I was 13. I did so much coke.
Yeah.
No, I did no coke.
No. Disappointing. No.
They did. I saw that they had spaghetti at the McDonald's, though, and I was really curious about that.
But that's just what they call cocaine. In England, they just call it spaghetti.
McDonald's spaghetti, they call it. So they go back to London. They finish the album, at least all the instrumental parts. But then Liam, just out of the blue on this album, decides no one else in the studio when I record my vocals. And the band's like, all right, whatever. All right. So he takes a month, goes in with an engineer to record his vocals, sends them to Noel, and Noel is like, this is trash. These sound fucking terrible. We need to try this again. And then they just go re-record the entire album in 2 days.
The whole album?
2 days. They record the entire album again, and that's the version that ends up being released.
Wow.
So they spent months and months and months, and then in 2 days, they crank it out.
Crank. I get it.
Get it?
Jason Statham. I got it.
No.
No?
Okay. No. No, no.
So this is the point where Oasis and cocaine kind of become synonymous. Cocasis.
Oh.
If you will.
I like it.
Cocasis.
Yeah. Yeah. And
both have fucked up noses.
We just talked about this a little bit, but Noel in an interview is asked about cocaine, and he says, yeah, it's just like drinking a cup of tea in the morning.
Mm.
And oh man, does the British press lose their fucking minds. But not just the British press, British politicians. This is a national scandal that Noel Gallagher says in an interview, taking cocaine is just like drinking a cup of tea in the morning. And this is where, like, England had a law on the books about this exact thing, about being super irresponsible about promoting drugs. And because Noel Gallagher was in the biggest band in the world, a band that conceivably appealed to some teens and children, there was this huge outcry in England, and Noel Gallagher very nearly gets arrested for saying cocaine is like drinking a cup of tea in the morning.
Also, too, it's nothing like tea.
It's like Pennyroyal tea.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it's a stimulant.
But I'm thinking, maybe I'm doing the wrong tea, guys. I'm not doing the right tea.
Butt Crack Andy tea, available now online. Use code UNPOPS at checkout, save 15% off.
I sit and rail all my
Butt Crack Andy tea.
Butt Crack Andy tea.
You snort it in lines as thick as the Gallagher brothers' monobrows.
I sit and rail all of this cocaine is what I meant to say.
Oh, it doesn't rhyme. It doesn't even sound like the song.
Explain yourself.
Andy,
I'm
worried about your memory.
So am I, honestly.
Yeah, you know, it's honestly, the first sign.
I'm worried about your memories.
When you take
that you'll take with you from doing this podcast, and if I'm going to feel guilty for it.
They're already paralyzing.
Are me and Travis going to get canceled in the future?
God, not me, but Syphilis Bear might end up
for shouting,
Andy! Oh, why are you so paranoid? Butt Crack Andy.
Butt Crack Andy!
Butt Crack Andy!
See, now I don't like it anymore. No, I don't like the name anymore. It. I liked it for a minute, and then you guys did that, and it ruined it.
We took our power back.
Yes, we did. Sorry. Stand in your power.
Hashtag me too, baby.
What? what? Hashtag we too, as in the two of us.
Oh, sure, sure. What I meant.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So,
hey, everybody, this is Butt Crack Andy.
And it's me, that's it.
Butt Crack and Nutsack is a great comedy team.
It really is.
Those guys should have a show.
They should.
Yeah.
They do. It's this episode of Podcast Supernova. So also around this time, Liam marries actress Patty Kensit.
And I would assume people know who that is, but if you don't, she is the really pretty girl in Lethal Weapon 2.
Yep.
And she also...
Oh, wait, really?
Yeah. She's the South African girl.
South African. So she's... A good deal older.
Than,
Yeah, probably.
Maybe not a good deal.
But probably like 10 years. Deal, yeah. Like that.
They're like age appropriate. It's not weird.
No, it's not gross. Yeah, I mean, well, it's never gross.
Patty Kensit is canceled. she took advantage of young Liam Gallagher.
Actually, she might have. I mean,
who knows?
I can't say it's never gross. There was in my high school in Iowa, there was a Spanish teacher that.
Named Patty Kensit.
That slept with a bunch of football players. And, and it was like.
How was it?
And it was in the 90s, so it was like,
what would that make it?
You know, the guys were like, what if studs, you know, or whatever. But it's like, no, you were definitely like, that's inappropriate. That's abusive.
You were raped.
Yeah. Yeah.
We call that rape.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oof.
So Patsy Kensit rapes Liam Gallagher. Whoa. And then they get married over it. This
real quick. I didn't see it in the notes. Patsy tried to be a pop girl at one point, like when she was younger.
So, yeah,
she was trying to be a singer, and then she settled for being like a model and an actress.
Right.
Yeah,
and she was good at that too.
Yeah.
So this marriage is really indicative of how crazy the British press was as it pertained to Oasis at the time. Liam Gallagher and Patty Kensit had to cancel their actual wedding and just like get
married. Yeah, because she was doing that werewolf cop movie,
right? With and people Mario Van like Peebles it was the talk of the town. Was, yeah. They had to cancel their wedding and just sort of like get secretly married in the middle of the night. They got married at 7:30 in the morning.
What?
Which was probably, as
that's
mentioned,
that's too early
in the documentary. The only time Liam Gallagher was up that early that entire year.
Oh, he didn't go to bed. Like, and that was for sure just a carryover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's all these clips in this documentary where the press is camped out outside his house. And at one point, one of them just goes up and hits the intercom and is like, hey, I thought you were getting married today. And he was like, I'm never getting married.
Where's the kid with the hammer? I want him back in this story. There are no heroes in this story.
Well, like at some point, like I get that Oasis argues in public and they do drugs, but they don't really deserve the kind of scrutiny.
No, I mean, they don't deserve that. I'm saying that the press is awful. These politicians are awful. Oasis is awful. Fucking everybody's awful.
It's kind of like everybody's awful.
Everybody's awful.
From the Lego movie.
Yeah.
Tegan and Sarah joint.
Yeah.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Like the let go of your hope that life gets better. Everyone is awful.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what that song's
That's
about.
What it's about.
So the thing about this, all this media scrutiny is, at least to me, I get the impression that it kind of made the band a little tighter. Like a little. Because it's like that thing where if you're a parent to a teen and you're like, you can't see that guy, your daughter's going to want to see that guy way more just because you're being that way. And with Oasis, like the entire fucking country is like scrutinizing their every fucking move. Like your only real move or counter move in that point is to just like fucking tighten up.
Right. Yeah. Close ranks.
But also too, like there's four people in the band at this point, right? Maybe five?
Five?
There's
What about the guy who had to drive?
The escape guy?
Yeah, they have a lead driver. Singer, so there's five. Yeah.
So, okay, so there's five people in the band, which means there's only five people on Earth who know what you're going through.
Right.
Four other people, including yourself. So you could be like, oh, yeah, I'm also famous. Like, no, you're not going through what I'm going through.
Right.
So, yeah, you would tighten up with that group.
But that's also how, like, Scientology works.
Oh, you have to join Oasis for a while until you get clear?
No, just the idea of, like... Of, like, nobody understands you but us. You know, that idea of, like, and anyone that's questioning is a suppressive whatever.
I think Andy's trying to recruit us for Scientology. Because that sounds awesome.
We hold this.
It's pretty great.
We hold this E-meter, please.
It's pretty great. Me and Elizabeth Moss.
E-Moss?
Yeah, she's a Scientologist.
This is how I know this is how fucked we are. Nobody cares about Scientology anymore.
Yeah.
nobody gives a shit. Like a few years ago, you were telling people, Beck's a Scientologist, and everyone was like, oh, I'm done with him. Elizabeth Moss, fine.
Beck actually came out recently and said he's not.
Oh, he's not a Scientologist?
Okay. He has renounced it. God love him. He also just made a Drake album, basically. But
I haven't heard it's
a Drake album.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
Sorry, what are we talking about?
We're talking about the band Oasis, mate.
We're talking about the song, do you know what I mean?
No, mate, I wrote that actual song.
It's a song called Do You Know What I Mean?
Do you know what I mean?
What are you asking me?
Do you know what I mean?
Oh,
one word.
One more time. Do. That didn't sound. That sounded like you said something else.
Jew?
Okay. Nope. Let's stop that right now.
Why? What's your problem?
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. What's your problem, mate?
What are we talking about?
Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Absolutely.
Right. You know what I mean.
Do you?
Do you?
Okay. Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Right. Is that what I'm supposed to say?
In it.
In it.
Am
I? In it. You fucking cunt.
Yeah. You heard he said. You know what I mean?
Totally.
Fucking queen.
Fucking queen.
Yeah.
Oh, fucking man. Yeah. Fucking man, you.
All right, we're all friends.
Good at you, man. Good at you.
Anyway, they premiered the single for Do You Know What I Mean in San Francisco while they were opening for U2.
And while avoiding Syphilis Bear, because we know that that's where he lives.
Right, that's where he was founded. This was a very different
I don't like any of this.
Time in music when you could, like, this was 97.
Seven. Yeah.
This was right on the cusp of when you could still keep your new music a secret.
True.
Because, like, 98, 99, Napster becomes a thing. Metallica rightfully sues Napster.
Yet I'm still not on their side.
Yeah, still not.
Yeah.
Okay, why did they sue Napster?
I'm not getting into
I agree that you are correct, but I just, the way that they did it is what I don't like about them.
I don't mind. All right, maybe this will end up in the outtakes sidebar, but they didn't sue Napster because they were losing money. That was never the idea. It was never that, oh, these people downloading our music are stealing from us. What they were mad about is they had been away from music for a long time. They were planning to return to music with this single from the fucking Mission Impossible, whatever soundtrack.
Right.
And someone takes an unfinished version of that song, literally pulls it out of the garbage and uploads it to Napster. And they're like, that is not how we wanted to be represented when we made our return to music. Why is Napster allowing shit like this? And that was the crux of their lawsuit. They didn't care that people might download the Black Album for free.
It's really just comes down to Lars Ulrich's way that he presented it.
He's a rant. Lars Ulrich's a cunt, but
yeah, that's why it's hard to be on their side, because he was the mouthpiece of the band at the time.
But they still had a decent point.
I agree with you. I just don't agree with the messenger.
Oi.
Oi.
Butt crack Andy.
Butt crack Andy.
I had nothing for that. I didn't know how to, the way you did that was.
Yeah, I can't be replicated. I can't do that again.
But it is interesting how Oasis was able to keep all of these songs like a total secret. People were expecting they'd at least like put out singles in advance for the press. They didn't do any of that.
God.
The first time people heard Do You Know What I Mean
was at the release.
When they opened for U2 in San Francisco.
I can't remember the last time a band's single was a secret, because now nobody even releases full albums. It's like, we have a new single out. You're like,
yeah,
the album's not coming out for another 4 months.
And then those singles might not even be on the album.
Right.
Yeah. Rihanna's Bitch Better Have My Money, as an example. Wasn't on Anti. Great song, though. Anyway. So they released the single. Like, Do You Know What I Mean is such a good song.
It's really good. It's very long.
Yeah, it's too long.
Well, that's the whole thing about this entire album. Every song on it is too long.
Yeah.
But still great songs.
Yeah, pretty good.
I was playing it this morning, listening to it, and my wife, Brandy, who is not really what I would call an Oasis fan or even someone who is super versed in Oasis, she was like, this is a good fucking song.
It is.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's a good fucking song. And
it's okay.
No, it's a fucking jam.
It's fine.
It's a fucking.
Well, no, you can't. Like, I get that it's too long, but a lot of songs are too long.
I don't know. I'm just really, this album in general for me, I'm just like, cool, I get it.
It's so massive, though. That's what's surprising about
that. Yeah, the only problem with this album is that every song is too long.
But each song, even the acoustic-ish ones, are just thick with sound. They're just huge.
Because they were on a bunch of coke.
Well, yeah, okay.
But, like, if the worst result of your on too much coke period is that
you may be here now,
you make a bunch of great songs too long, it could be so much worse.
You're doing all right.
Yeah, like it's not Lou Reed's Metal Machine music or some bullshit.
Or Lou Reed's Lulu with Metallica. Holy
crap. I'm just going to put it out there. Lou Reed's fucking anything.
Yeah, man, I don't understand.
Like, God damn it. The dude just talks. waiting on my man. I don't give a fuck who you're waiting on. Anyway, it's fine. Fucking boring motherfucker.
I don't know. I think that this record is boring. I think what? That, yeah, I do.
See, I disagree.
Like, I'm just...
We'll get to it, though.
Yeah.
But this single goes straight to number one. 370,000 copies sold first week. I remember as a person who, as I've mentioned many times, wasn't even fucking with rock music mm-hmm. at this point in my life. I remember hearing this song because I had heard, like, I would just listen to the radio when I would drive, and I would hear Wonderwall and Champagne Supernova, and I was like,
those are fine.
Those are good songs.
Yeah, it's fine.
And then I was hanging out with my cousin one day who was a rock music guy, and the video for Do You Know What I Mean came on, and I was like, I secretly want to hear the next Oasis album. Like, wow. That's a really good song. And here's why I think it probably resonated with me, like, subconsciously a little bit. I was listening to nothing but rap music yeah. at the time. Do you know what I mean? Samples straight out of Compton.
Does it really?
Well, sort of.
Sort of. What it samples is there is this break.
The amen break.
In a song by the Winstons, who knows?
Amen. Sure.
Amen break.
Yeah, the song is called Amen, Brother. And there is this really famous drum breakdown in that song that NWA sampled for Straight Outta Compton. Here's the thing. I wrote an article at one point about the most famous samples yeah. in rap music.
I've read that one, yeah.
And people were really mad that I didn't put the Amen break on it. But the Amen break, aside from Straight Outta Compton, is like a dance music break.
Is it a go-go break?
We will. Well, actually, let's listen to a little bit of it. What this clip is the Amen break going into the drums from Straight Outta Compton. Like, so you hear the sample, and then you hear what it sounded like on Straight Outta Compton. Here we go. So this is the Amen break. And you're going to hear in a second, it's going to turn into Straight Outta Compton. Like, it's already, this is slower than what the actual Amen break is. And then that's the first part of turning it into Straight Outta Compton. There we go.
Yeah.
Now it's Straight Outta Compton. And this is what Oasis sampled. They didn't sample Straight Outta Compton because Straight Outta Compton is a sample yeah. of...
Straight Outta Compton with a motherfucking name, Butt Crack Andy.
Straight Outta Butt Crack. Crazy motherfucker named Andy.
Yeah.
You know how it goes.
I got you.
I love it.
And this is probably, not even probably, this is just another example of Noel Gallagher being influenced by people he respects and or works with.
Mm-hmm.
Because right before recording this, they had,
he recorded an album with NWA.
Yes.
In a summer home owned by
Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis.
The Kennedys.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I would say Rick Rubin. I'd put Rick Rubin. In
well, there, yeah.
Right?
So the thing about, like, he had just recorded a song with the Chemical Brothers called
Dig Out Your Hole, right? Dig Out Your Head?
Dig Out Your Soul is an Oasis album.
Oh, right.
But
Dig Out Your Hole!
Hey, I'm here with Butt Crack Andy. We're going to be playing Dig Out Your Hole in its entirety.
He released a
Dig Your Own Hole. That's the Chemical Brothers thing I'm thinking of.
I don't fuck okay. with the Chemical Brothers. Okay. But he recorded a song with the Chemical Brothers called Setting Sun.
Oh, yeah. Setting Sun's an awesome song.
And this is a quote from him about Genoa Amin. It's definitely influenced the sonic side of things. When we were laying down this mix, we listened to our drum tracks and then to Setting Sun. When their drums came in, they were twice as loud as ours. So I said, we've got to get ours fucking louder than that. It's all about compressors and EQs, stuff I don't really understand. I just sit in the back drinking, pointing, and shouting. It's not loud enough. Turn it up.
If it's not cocaine, don't talk to me about it. That's not my area.
So they didn't sample Straight Outta Compton, even though that's famously referenced yeah. in David Frick's review of the album for Rolling Stone. He mentions that.
Well, it's like it's a context thing. You know, it's like when people say, I don't know, stupid shit people say.
It's like on The Voice when people perform Hallelujah, and it's like Jeff Buckley's Hallelujah.
No, that's a Leonard Cohen song.
Right? Get the fuck out of here with that.
Get the fuck out of here, you fucking idiot. You imbecile. You cretin. You uneducated piece of garbage.
Where were we?
What?
I'm sorry.
I don't know. I was too turned on.
Hey, Travis.
Yes, sir.
Be here now.
I'm trying. I really am. Isn't that a quote?
That is a quote. This is the album where they really lean into being the Beatles. Be Here Now is a quote from John Lennon's bitch ass about Buddhism.
Oh, the Buddhism's all about be here now, man.
Oh, should be here now. Why does that young gentleman have a gun?
Shut the fuck up, Yoko! Crack, crack, crack.
He wasn't abusive to Yoko. He was abusive to his previous
Oh,
life.
Wasn't he? Are you sure he wasn't?
No, I mean, yeah. I mean, like, that's the whole thing, right? Is that, like, he was abusive to his first wife.
Do we think Yoko Ono killed John Lennon?
Yes.
And then he went with Yoko, and, like, he did this whole thing where he learned how to be a better person. And
No, that's George Harrison.
He still sucks, but...
Didn't George Harrison learn to be a better person?
No.
You mean he learned to be a better person while he was ignoring the kid that he had with his previous wife?
Yeah, that's the shitty thing. That's the shitty thing he was still doing, was ignoring his first kid. I mean,
so it's so... He wasn't becoming a better person.
I mean, look,
he was just into his current girlfriend.
In John Lennon's defense, which is not something I say often, I often forget about Julian Lennon.
Yeah.
I rarely remember him.
I mean, good point. Yeah.
He's got some bangers, though.
Does he have more than one song?
Two.
Julian Lennon has two songs?
I mean, he's got a whole album, but he had two singles, and they were both all right.
All right.
So the album, Be Here Now, released August 21st. 696,000 copies sold in the first 4 days in the UK.
That's nutty numbers.
Fastest selling UK record ever at the time, eclipsing the previous record set by What's the Story Morning Glory.
Oh, they broke their own record.
So they were huge at this time. So huge.
Wow. Yeah, okay. I guess I just didn't realize it at the time. Like, I was just checked out from the whole...
I was looking this up, not because I doubted anything in the notes, but because I just wanted more information, because it just seems so huge. They've sold 75 million records worldwide. That number blew my mind. Like, I was like, I knew they were popular. I didn't think they were 75 million records worldwide popular.
That's a lot.
Well, what's so interesting about this album is from, like, if you read, like, U.S. journalists' take on it, like, there's literally an article out there that calls this the end of Oasis, or the beginning of the end of Oasis. Oasis was selling out Wembley Stadium deep into the 2000s. Like, the United States kind of, like, assumed Oasis stopped making music. But right. Oasis was huge in England and kind of worldwide. Just not, like, they were at one point kind of like the soccer of bands, where we didn't care anymore.
Huge, but everyone, everywhere but America.
Yeah, that's everyone great. Else was like, holy shit, Oasis is coming to town? Take the day off.
I better paint my face a funny color and make racist statements.
Are you Eric Clapton?
Those like soccer fans.
Oh, okay.
Oh, fuck those motherfuckers.
I don't know. Maybe John Lennon was abusive towards Yoko. I don't.
How'd you go back to that?
I don't give a shit about John Lennon.
I just
don't
like saying things and then being like, well, I'm probably wrong. I could be wrong. I'm wrong about a lot of things.
I mean, look into The Lost Weekend. Even if he wasn't punching her, he wasn't being great. Like, you know, when he took like a couple years off to fuck their maid.
Oh shit! Yeah. See, this is the thing, is like I have no authority to be speaking about anything.
Yeah. Anyway, the cover for this album.
This is amazing.
There's a Rolls Royce in the swimming pool, and at this point in history, you could have just photoshopped a Rolls Royce into that swimming pool
easily.
But they were like, "No,
we're doing cocaine.
We're on coke. Put a Rolls Royce in that fucking swimming pool."
It's like they leaned into the Beatles, but also the Who. Like, they wanted to do, like, all of that crazy shit.
Yeah.
And I think that was the only message they were trying to send with that album cover, was we're a crazy rock band.
We can afford to do this.
Yeah. Fucking Rolls Royce in the swimming pool like the Who, baby. Sure. But because there's a scooter on the cover, and it's got a license plate on the side, and that license plate is the license plate from a car that's on the Abbey Road album.
You got to be kidding me.
And so because of that, people were like, ooh, what are the clues in the Be Here Now cover?
Liam's dead.
Yeah, and all the clues just point to them doing a bunch of cocaine and coming up.
They're not clues so much as they are residue.
Yeah.
So is that a coincidence, or did they do that on purpose?
The license plate thing?
Yeah.
That was on purpose.
Okay.
Hey, Liam, rub this license plate on your gums.
Stand By Me is the next single they release. Fucking banger.
That's, Percy Sledge song?
Yeah, yeah, I really like that song.
If you see them in concert, whether you realize it or not, you're going to have the most fun when they play Stand By
Me.
It's
a great song.
The crowd goes nuts. It's a beautiful song. But even then, that song is too long.
Yeah, it is.
that's the thing. Like, these songs are too long, but they're all good.
But they're jams. You were saying that earlier. It's their jam.
Yeah.
It's their jam band record. Like, do you know what I mean? Goes on forever. It feels like, because they keep repeating. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, they're in the moment. You know, with,
right.
Call it cocaine or whatever. They're in the pocket and just having a blast with that song.
Yeah.
I think it's what they're doing with all these songs.
Yeah, and I mean, there's obviously some drug influence to it, but these are good songs. Like, and these are some of their most, like, career-defining songs in some cases. Like, especially Stand By Me, All Around the World, which is the longest song to ever reach number one in UK history. It's 9 minutes long. You still hit number one.
You said something earlier about, like, if you ever see them live. Wasn't there recent talk of them possibly getting back together?
I think
and then,
so.
And then they, like, quickly fought each other.
I hope they do. Like, I've seen them 3 times live, and I've seen Noel and Liam both solo. So if they don't, at least I got mine, baby.
Damn. I never saw them.
Yeah, Noel wrote the song Stand By Me while he had food poisoning, and that's why the first line is made a meal and threw it up on Sunday, because he made a meal, and it made him sick, and he threw up on Sunday and then wrote Stand By Me.
Wow.
It's also, you don't want to eat a lot when you're on Coke, so.
Right.
Was it food poisoning, or?
Or was it Coke poisoning?
Mm.
Yeah.
Conspiracy theory.
Interesting. Interesting.
They break out into a few silly feuds around this time.
No.
Hold on. Are we talking about Oasis?
Wash. I don't.
That doesn't check out with who I know these caring, loving brothers to be.
One of them, like, I can see Liam Gallagher's point in this one, because George Harrison at this point
of the Beatles
goes on record with his opinion of Liam Gallagher, which to me feels very out of character for George Harrison.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah.
Because he obviously knows how much this band fucking loves the Beatles. And he still, like, goes in.
He does, like, a Wayne Coyne kind of
thing
here. Yeah.
But it's not very Krishna.
Like, fuck Ryan Adams now, because he's probably a pedophile. But back when we didn't know that, there was this incident where he played a show in Minneapolis. And clearly his hero in life is Paul Westerberg from The Replacements.
Right.
And Paul Westerberg goes in Minneapolis newspapers and is like, Ryan Adams should be kicked in the teeth. It's like, really? Like, you can't just say no comment, or he's not for me.
Yeah.
Like,
but maybe he, you know.
No, it's pay attention to me. I did this first.
And so here's George Harrison talking about Liam Gallagher.
All right.
And finally, Oasis lead singer Liam Gallagher has been greatly criticized by one of his biggest heroes, former Beatle George Harrison. Oasis have always made it well known what massive Beatles fans they are. But as far as George is concerned, the band would be better off without their lead singer.
He's like a bit out of date, you know. I mean, he's a bit of a, it's just silly. I feel a bit sorry for him, really, because I think he's totally missed the bus, and I think it was proven when you see the band without him singing, you know, they're more in tune, and they can, you know, I mean, he's just excess baggage, I think, and all he does is, you know, make people think what a bunch of prannies they are.
That's his personal
opinion. Here's the thing. He's not wrong.
He's
100% correct. Because
he's not one. He's not 100% correct, because the notion that Oasis would make better music without Liam Gallagher's voice is fucking dumb.
It also,
like,
too,
Noel
is-
Gallagher's a good singer, but he's not Liam Gallagher.
Okay, well, that stuff aside.
Oh, the music?
What I think he's actually talking about is Liam Gallagher's behavior. And Liam
you
Gallagher's
You don't get to be George
star-
fucking Harrison and say shit like that.
Yeah, you do.
No.
Because, yes, you do. Yes, you absolutely do. Because the thing is George Harrison, at when the Beatles, then they broke up, he did his whole thing. He learned, you know, he grew as a person.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
No,
yes, he
if he grew
did.
As a person, he would. If you're a truly evolved person and somebody asks your opinion of somebody who is doing the same thing that you did when you were younger, you'd be like, yeah, I remember being there. I don't really care.
But what his point is, what he's saying is it's out of date. It's a thing that people used to do.
At this point, George Harrison is out of date.
That we should be over by now.
What 1997 George Harrison thinks about anything?
I don't know. I mean, I care.
But also, why single out Liam?
Because Liam's the one creating Liam's the one going to their fucking Unplugged performance.
Noel Gallagher is the one
piece of
who
shit
went,
about it.
Went in front of the media and was like, cocaine's like taking tea in the morning. Yeah. And that is irresponsible as fuck to say.
Yeah, it
Noel
is.
Gallagher's also the one who bailed on two different tours at various points. Like, Noel Gallagher wasn't much better. And, like, it just feels petty for George Harrison. Like, I expect of all people, like, I could see Paul McCartney saying this shit, but he didn't. Like, George Harrison is the fucking Buddhist who's supposed to be above shit like this. And he's like, fucking Liam Gallagher. It's like, just don't say anything.
Yeah, it's also, too, like, remember the side you picked in the John Paul feud, George? Remember that? You went with John. And we know a lot more about John than we know now. No, now we know more. Than, like, John was the Liam Gallagher of the time.
Right.
So I don't think you get to throw stones at Liam.
Yeah, it feels petty and mean, because especially knowing this is someone who
looks up
to you the way they do. Like, I personally, like, if some fucking podcaster was like, oh man, I fucking love Adam Todd Brown, and I didn't like their podcast, which I wouldn't, I still wouldn't go in front of people and fuck that kid. He should be kicked in the teeth.
Yeah, but I'm not seeing it like that. I'm seeing it like, I guess I'm not seeing it in those terms. Like, that part of it is gross. And I don't, but I also, to me, it feels like he's doing the, like, you know, the thing that every fucking old guy does. They look at,
why are you looking at me?
Young people being pieces of shit. And they're like, fuck this young guy being a piece of shit. Like, I think that's what it is more than anything else.
I think if anything, he's
I think
just
it's
been
still,
like,
you're right. It sucks.
I think he just should, if he was going to say anything, he'd be like, yeah, I remember when we went through it. It's a ride. Hope he has fun. Like,
yeah.
Shut up.
Okay, again, no heroes in this story. Even George Harrison, not a good guy.
Here's Liam's response.
Oh, boy. Okay, I'm going to change sides real quick.
Yeah, you are.
Still George Harrison as a songwriter in the Beatles, but as a person, I think he nipple.
He called him a fucking nipple.
If you ever meet him, they'll tell him. And if you're watching it, nipple. I didn't even know he does this, so what's he on about? You know what I mean? It goes to show that all the time, the Beatles and all that stuff, that he's still stupid. He's a silly one because he reads the press. How do you know I'm silly? I've got 40 GCSEs, mate. I'm not silly.
But all these old farts, right, like, get out of day centre, right, yeah.
Yeah, give me the money.
Like, a microphone comes in front, you know, you've got a problem with a kid, right, yeah.
Problem?
Yeah. A problem with a kid, right, or Oasis, right, yeah. Obviously, like, yeah, and I ignored all that fact, right, yeah, because I dig all the music. I think I'm a personal human beings, right, yeah. You shut up a minute, right, songwriter. At the end of the day, right, obviously, they almost want a scrap, right, and I will offer them all right out here on radio, right, yeah, right, yeah. So what a fight, right, Primrose Hill, Saturday morning, 12 o'clock, I will beat the fucking living daylight shit out of them, right. I'm still going to stake fight at the end of it, right.
So to answer your question, yes, we have been to America.
He threatened to beat up George Harrison.
Jesus.
And George Harrison been stabbed in his own home at this point?
Yeah, and had to be saved by his wife because he was only shouting Hare Krishna the whole time. Oh, absolutely true detail of that story.
Wow.
So wow. Liam Gallagher would have beat the dog shit out of George Harrison.
I gotta say, I was going so
Hare Krishna.
I was going so Punch. Hard in the gym, like fuck George Harrison camp, and I'm like, nah, fuck Liam.
Yeah, that's, fuck Liam, dude.
That like, that's a tool.
Like, it's funny though. Like,
it's funny, but it's so. I love that like, these are two grown men upset about being called silly. That's like, what the whole yeah, thing was
yeah,
about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But George, that's the thing. George Harrison said his shit. Unprovoked. He didn't have any, like, you're George Harrison. You have no reason to shit on Liam Gallagher other than, oh, the press is asking me. Like, just don't say anything. Like, what do you expect Liam Gallagher's gonna say other than, let's fucking fight? He's yeah. Liam Gallagher. He's got head trauma. He's a very violent man.
He's been hit by a hammer, and now he wants to hit a beetle.
We're lucky he's not out murdering
Maxwell
people.
Maxwell Silverhammer, baby.
Oh, my God. That's
Maybe
why
George Harrison did it.
That's why he got hit in the head with a hammer. That's how much of a Beatles fan he was. He's like, hit me, the fucking hammer. I need to get the music inside me. Wow.
You got the music in you. Don't look
What a banger that was.
That was... You only get what you give by the New Radicals. Butt crack in the morning.
It's a nut sack.
So
that would be 5 nut sacks on my scale.
So there's another feud around this time between Oasis and the Spice Girls.
Sure, of course.
And this one's a little more unfortunate because it stems from Liam saying he's not going to attend the 97 Brit Awards because he's worried, quote, he might end up chinning one of the Spice Girls, which I'm assuming is British slang for punching a broad in the face.
Oh, that is not what I chinning? Thought it meant. I thought he meant like coming on her face.
No.
Because
I mean,
like, both can are not, if we're unwanted, not good. But
well, because at the, like, in response to this, Sporty Spice, of all people.
Oh, sure.
Which actually seems like the obvious choice. Calls Liam Gallagher out on stage at the Brit Awards and is like, if you want to fucking fight, mate.
It's me, Sporty Spice.
Fucking bring it on, fucking Sporty Spice.
I'll fight you, your whole fucking family.
Fucking put this Adidas up your ass.
Bring your mother up here. I'll kick her up a chimney.
And Liam
I'll
Gallagher.
Chin her up a chimney.
Liam Gallagher declines to fight a Spice Girl on stage at the Brit Awards.
He was too busy threatening an elderly beetle to be fighting a girl.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus, man.
And then Noel Gallagher joins the fray.
I like them as characters. I think it was Sporty Spice. It's got a fucking good voice, man, I tell you. Mm-hmm. For a white chick.
Whoa.
But Jesus. I'm not into all this.
There's
you know.
A burn coming at the end of this.
They're a big money-making corporate machine, aren't they? Mm-hmm. You know, advertising crisps and... cans of Coke and all that nonsense. They've got a single out now that you can only buy if you buy 20 cans of Pepsi. The fuck's all that about? You know what I mean? Not into that. But no, good luck to them, you know. The young girls, or are they as young as they say? That's what I want to know. I'll tell you this, right? If Jenny Spice is 24, then she's going to look fucking rough when she's 30.
Whoa. And he was right.
He was.
Jesus. So Christ. That was a whole feud that was happening around this time also. She's going to look rough when she's 30.
Was the next thing that played just another video? Or was that like such an epic burn that someone had to turn on a massive guitar?
Someone in the background was like, holy shit.
Oh my God, the Liam Gallagher burn. Or was that Noel? That was
and
Noel.
The thing is, he's got a point about what the Spice Girls were. And it's the same point I always love to make to people who romanticize the Sex Pistols too much. The Sex Pistols were the Spice Girls.
I mean, they
girls.
Were a boy band. Yeah.
They were absolutely the same thing as the Spice Girls. They just made slightly different music.
Yeah. I
think drastically. I don't know, slightly.
Was it? It was pop music with fucking loud guitars.
I mean, he's got a point about, you know, the advertising, the corporate machine part of it, true. But, like, I like them as characters. Dog, you're a character. Stop. Stop. Hard stop.
But is he a character if he's like that all the fucking time?
Yeah, but that's, I mean, that's sadder.
But maybe. At least, I would at least say he's at least being authentic. He doesn't like go like, oh, I got to be this guy. He's going to be that guy whether he was a famous musician or a guy just thumping people for purses. Like, that's who the Gallaghers are. Whereas Sporty Spice,
I don't know.
Scary Spice and all of those Spices are like... this is the version of the person that you are when people see you.
Yeah, but to me that's more interesting because it's like this is an actual performance aspect thing. They can then go back to being real people, whereas Noel and Liam are trapped in this, like, what they think is cool with their dumb, with his fucking dumb sunglasses and his, you know, like.
Is that why
Rolls Royce in a fucking swimming pool? Eat shit.
Is that why Liam and Noel are doing solo albums and the Spice Girls have reunited in 2019? Like, they're the ones who are trapped.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck can they do outside the Spice Girls except host goddamn reality talent shows?
Yeah, dude.
Like, no one's fucking with a Mel B album in 2019. Yeah. But Liam Gallagher and Noel Gallagher are doing great as solo artists.
That's true.
Yeah, but I feel like...
But I feel like Andy's main criticism is that they're a bit outdated.
So that was a feud that was happening at the time. And what's interesting about Be Here Now is when it came out, the consensus was generally, this is a great album.
Really?
Q Magazine gave it 5 stars, which they almost never do.
True.
NME gave it 4 stars. David Frick in Rolling Stone gave it 4 stars. Like, it sold great. The reviews were great. And I feel like what happened is as people started hating Oasis more as people, they started finding things to hate about Be Here Now. And they just focused on too long. And now, like, we're supposed to accept that it was a bad album, but it's not.
It's not bad. I wouldn't say it's a...
I will say this is something I think is interesting about it, is that for something that was made as an homage to the rock excess that predated them, it's actually an album that was ahead of its time.
Right. And the thing about Oasis, they're in this weird moment in music where grunge is essentially over.
Yeah.
But
nu metal is just rearing its head,
and the pop punk bullshit is just kind of starting, where everyone's like, we just need 3 chords and some eyeliner, and like Oasis
this is pre-eyeliner by a while.
No, Billy Joe Armstrong had eyeliner in 94 when they were on the cover.
Right,
so
but it didn't become like a part of the thing. Like, it was just him doing that.
I was just saying,
and like Davey Havok from AFI, I guess.
But like, they were also making mostly bullshit music that a bunch of people were like, oh, that's what music is. Get me 3 fucking people who can barely play their instruments and cry about their problems a lot. That's music. And I feel like, oh, that's where the Oasis backlash kind of starts, where people are like, oh, that's stadium rock. But no, it's not. Like, Oasis to me has more to do with punk than Nirvana. Like, Nirvana... Wow. Let's just be honest. Nirvana and Oasis are the same band.
No, I
why? Jesus, because they Christ. Both. How are they not?
I can see Adam's point, because it's
the burden is not on me.
let me tell you this. Yeah. Are they not two bands who borrowed very liberally from every fucking influence they ever had?
And a band that repeatedly was on the verge of splitting up for good every album.
Yeah, they have similarities. I'm not going to...
A band where they constantly
like,
are
I'm
getting...
not saying their music sounds exactly the same, but their aesthetic isn't that different. Like, Oasis...
Yeah, no, okay.
Like, think of all the controversy around Courtney Love and Kurt Cobain doing heroin in the U.S.
The media, especially the media... attention on Nirvana and the media attention on Oasis and how that made it worse.
But they're also two bands who, I'm sorry for lack of a better term, stole a bunch of songs from the past and acted like it was new and refreshing. But like, that's such a common critique of Oasis, is that so, like, Step Out is a Stevie Wonder song. Like, they like so many of their songs, like Cigarettes and Alcohol is Bang a Gong by T-Rex.
Oh, fuck.
But also, Cream by Prince is Bang a Gong by T-Rex. Like, these things happen.
Yeah, it's all over music.
But with Oasis and Nirvana both, when you really dig into it, it's way more prevalent with both of them.
Yeah.
Like, they were, I get that they were, like, influenced, but...
I guess I just like Nirvana better, so I'm, you know, anytime it's, like...
I mean, I like...
I get my back up a little bit, you know? Cause
like, or that's the thing. Nirvana and Oasis are two of my favorite bands. But at some point, you just got to be honest with yourself about
Yeah.
What your favorite bands are.
I think really.
Sometimes there's bands that made other people's music sound better.
No, we're all. Oh, man, now I'm bummed.
Now we're all sad.
No, there's no original.
I'm not sad.
That's not true, Andy.
I'm sad all the time.
Okay, why aren't you sad? Hold on.
Well, because your sadness makes me happy.
That makes sense.
It's an inverse situation.
That actually tracks, yeah.
I'm sad all the time. It's just I'm not – this particular thing doesn't do anything to make me sadder than I already am.
You just think about there's no original thought in anything.
Like, there's just always – like, I have a baseline that's just sad, and, like, it takes something
– How's it go? Like,
that's not this – oh, my God. It's actually from the Billy Preston song, Will It Go Round in Circles. That's it's that baseline.
That's very specific.
Actually, I don't know if there's even bass in that song.
I also
there has to be,
I
right?
feel like this might be the Oasis album where they borrow from people the least.
So this is the most Oasis.
Maybe.
And the least Beatles.
Probably.
It is an oasis of creativity in a desert that was Oasis. Wrap your mind around that, fucker.
Yeah.
Wow. That's like a riddle.
That's a whole lot to think about.
Yeah, because I'm here now.
I don't want to do it. What do you mean?
I don't know.
Like the John Lennon quote?
Oh, the John Lennon quote.
Yeah. Buddhism.
Right
dude.
Before he got shot.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, I'm going to be here now. And the guy's, Mark David Chapman's like, I'll be there too.
Yeah. He's like,
I'll be there
too. Duly noted. So,
oh, gosh.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like.
Hello, hello, ambulance, be here now.
That's really funny.
I feel like history has been a little harsh on this album.
And history's harsh on everything.
It reminds me a little bit of Weezer's Pinkerton album, which Rolling Stone, when it came out, called Pinkerton the worst album of the year.
Wow.
And it's now on their list of the 500 greatest albums of all time because it is.
I'll split the difference on that one.
Pinkerton's pretty fucking good.
Pinkerton's a half of a good record. Half of that
album. Like every Weezer record.
That's true.
It's half good.
Now, see, I think their first two records are good, and then every other Weezer album is like three singles and
decliningly filler. Unlistenable.
Yeah. Yeah.
I my Pinkerton opinion is every time I try and dig into Pinkerton, I go like, I'm going to listen to this song, skip, 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 this song, skip, 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 this song. I can't get all the way through it.
Wrong.
I've had that record since it came out. I've never gotten all the way through it.
This is going to be the episode where we break up.
I think, yeah, this
we're going to fight. The British
I'm mad
press.
About Nirvana. You're
the British
mad
press
about
is going to be
Weezer.
At the door.
I'm not mad about Weezer. That's just my opinion of
no,
Pinkerton.
No, he's mad about Weezer.
They're going to show up at my mom's house asking if the podcast is going to end.
I talked shit about Queens of the Stone Age earlier, not meaning to talk shit about Queens of the Stone Age because I meant Eagles of Death Metal.
Yeah. Yeah.
You so were now just, you hate me, too?
But not for that.
Is someone going to drive? Is there a getaway driver that I can
just hop out the window and into the car window?
I'm going to smack you in the head with a hammer and then jump out the window.
And then you're going to get hugged by a syphilis bear.
A syphilis bear. A walking around without a care. Hey, Andy, just give me one little hug.
No.
That's all it takes
Don't
to pass
say
on
the
my
bug thing. It's not.
What do you want him to call it?
Don't, not that.
It's, what do you want me to call it, Andy?
It's
what am
bug.
I supposed to? It's a bug. It's just, you know, it's curable. It's curable.
It's curable. Wow.
He's got you there.
He does. Is it?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Syphilis?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course it's
totally
curable.
I'm
not, I don't
it's
keep
not
up
AIDS.
With science.
It's not, look, you get
syphilis. Try it sometime.
Well, this is why the calling it the bug is problematic, because that was slang for a long time. For
any disease.
Yeah, but I mean, specifically, it was for HIV for a while.
Syphilis predates HIV.
I know, but when there was a time when if you...
Are you saying that HIV borrowed a lot from syphilis?
I'm saying HIV's third record is basically all syphilis.
HIV and syphilis are the same band.
Oh, my
They're
God.
They're the same band.
I don't think so. I think HIV got really innovative.
Here we go again.
Look, one was big in the Reagan era, and the other one just wasn't talked about in the Reagan era.
But it was still making hits.
I do feel like Oasis as
what
their...
What syphilis was referencing is older than what... HIV was referencing.
I do feel like as we got into the late 90s and 2000s, Oasis definitely made more interesting music than Nirvana.
That's true.
But Chad Nirvana wasn't making any music.
There it is.
I would say
Kurt Cobain was dead, Travis.
Was he?
Oasis is the, this is what we, the, okay, good this question. Is all coming full circle now, because Oasis is the what if Nirvana was still around.
And it's not bad.
Yeah, they just made really loud records that not as many people in America listen to.
Oasis made a lot of really good albums after Be Here Now. Dig Out Your Soul is great. Don't Believe the Truth is really great. I like most of Oasis's albums.
Okay.
There's like one or two.
Look, I don't really have an emotional investment in it one way or the other.
That's not what your actions are saying.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. I know. This is the thing I'm trying to work out. I'm trying to solve this problem I have of having a lot of steam up front. But no real heat inside. You know what I'm saying? Like
I do.
It's like a tea kettle full of nothing.
Sure.
So that's our episode. I don't think history.
That was the fourth episode of
you okay?
Podcast Supernova.
The fourth episode of Poof.
That's on my soundboard.
I don't think we or history.
I've been the butt crack.
We or history will ever agree on the album Be Here Now. But I stand by it. I think
I like it. I liked it.
It's fine.
it just represents the point in Oasis history where they were just the most publicly obnoxious.
I'll say it's the rock and roll excess that I think we all hoped that follow-up Guns N' Roses record would be. You know, like you're putting all of this effort and you have all of this money and ability and popularity behind you to make whatever you want, and it's actually a fun album. Whereas Chinese Democracy is like, now you guys could
I could write a poem about my reaction to Chinese Democracy.
Yeah, I think you probably have. I don't think you
terrible album.
Yeah.
It's so bad. And the thing is I wasn't even like excited by the time it came out because
no one
was. It was like, I've gone through that. Like it's like if a loved one disappears.
Oh my God.
For like years and you declare them dead. You have them declared dead.
And then they show up with a shitty album in their pocket.
And you raise a kid with someone else
what you're saying is
12 years and then they show up and they're still alive. And you're like, this would have been so much simpler if you were actually dead.
Chinese Democracy is Tom Hanks in Castaway. And we as people are Helen Hunt.
Yes. Yes. Just like you should have stayed on that fucking island.
Dude, we've all moved on.
Yeah. You are done.
That's the thing with Oasis too. Like, they haven't been a band for 10 years now. And we're like, oh, come back. And like, what if they do and it just sucks? And they're like, oh, you should have stayed solo.
You guys should have stayed on the island.
Like, I wanted the Replacements.
Stay on the island with Driveshaft. You know what I'm saying?
That's a Lost reference, everybody.
I wanted the
and
Replacements.
An Oasis reference.
I wanted the Replacements to reunite forever. And they finally did. And I'm like, I don't know if I still care about seeing the Replacements. They're like all 70 now.
Yeah. And most of them are Replacements, right? Like,
all I know is Dinosaur Jr. reunited and I got exactly what I wanted out of it.
Dude, I just saw them a couple of months ago. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I still have never seen them. All right. We should probably wrap this
up. Yes, we should.
It's a long ass episode.
It was a long episode.
We got about 17 minutes of Butt Crack Andy at the beginning to edit out.
Butt Crack Andy.
So there's that.
Okay.
What do we have to, do we have anything to plug? I don't.
Nothing.
Like, listen to this podcast.
Listen to this show. If you want to follow me on social media, you can, but I don't know how much longer I'm going to keep my social media.
Yeah. Follow me. Like, just follow me around in person.
Yeah. Come up, say hi.
Send me a letter.
Yeah.
3727 West Magnolia Boulevard, number 1505, Burbank, California, 91505. I don't live there. Don't worry.
Yeah. And like, literally a letter, like take one off of a sign.
Send me one of those like cut letters out of a magazine.
Yeah.
And send me a fucking ransom note for someone
awesome.
I don't know.
Oh my God. Fake ransom notes.
Fake
send them
ransom
in.
Notes. Send them to all of us, especially Butt Crack Andy.
And the nut sack.
And I'm unidentified gravelly voice. You've been listening to Podcast Supernova. What do you got to plug,
Andy? That's the voice in Butt Crack's head. You can hear it too. I don't have anything to plug.
Oh, good. Travis?
Nothing whatsoever. Don't look at me.
don't
look at me. Don't talk to me. I don't fucking know you.
Please add the nutsack on all social media.
Follow the nutsack.
If you want to know where the money is, follow the nuts.
That seems like a good place to end. Andy, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Travis, say goodbye.
This is the nut sack. Say goodbye.
Goodbye, you fucking cunts.